Alfred Hitchcock presents The Three Investigators in The Secret of Terror Castle. Written by Robert Arthur and dramatized by Edward Kelsey. My name is Alfred Hitchcock. I am a teller of tales of terror. Those of you who are easily frightened should listen no further. Those of you who think you are brave, now is the time to prove it. The story you are about to hear happened in the 1960s, before any of you were born. I was a not entirely unknown director of thriller movies in Hollywood, in the United States of America. One day, my secretary sent two boys into my office. They presented me with a printed card, which I read aloud. The Three Investigators. We investigate anything. Question mark, question mark. Question mark. First investigator, Jupiter Jones.
That's me, Mr. Hitchcock.
Second investigator, Peter Crenshaw.
That's me.
Records and research, Bob Andrews.
Bob is not with us because he's doing research at the moment. He's somewhat handicapped in operations requiring athletic prowess, as he is suffering from the after effects of a badly broken leg. However, as he works part-time at the library, he is eminently suitable as a researcher.
No doubt. But what are you doing here in my office? I do not require the services of one investigator, let alone three.
Jupe thinks you do, Mr. Hitchcock.
Jupe does he? The gate man has strict instructions not to allow strangers in to see me.
Well, I can explain that, Mr. Hitchcock. I was fortunate enough to win a competition.
Jupe is really very clever. You can tell from the way he speaks. He's got a great brain.
And a great impudence.
I'm sorry you should feel that way, Mr. Hitchcock. You see, the prize for being successful in the competition was the loan of a Rolls-Royce sedan automobile for 30 days.
Well, not much use to you. You can't be old enough to drive.
That is true, Mr. Hitchcock. But the Rolls came complete with its own chauffeur to drive us.
And its own telephone.
I'm impressed.
And so was the man on the studio gate. He was so impressed to see us arrive in such a smart English auto, driven by a smart English chauffeur called Worthington, that he thought we must be related to you, Mr. Hitchcock, as you are such a smart English film director. So he let us in.
I see. Well, now, you can both get back into your smart English auto and ask your smart English chauffeur to drive you smartly away. I'm very busy.
We know that, Mr. Hitchcock. And we are here to help you. That is why we gave you our card.
The Three Investigators, question mark, question mark, question mark. May I ask what the question marks are for? Do they indicate a doubt in your own ability?
No, sir. They are our trademark. They are symbolical of questions to be answered, of mysteries to be solved. And if we wish to indicate to each other where we have been, we leave a small chalk question mark, a different color for each of us.
Most original.
And the question marks on the card make people ask questions, like you did, sir, and that helps them remember us.
I see. You are publicity-minded.
A business cannot succeed if people don't know about it.
A statement which cannot be disputed. But speaking of business, you have not yet stated yours.
We want to find a haunted house for you, sir.
A haunted house? What makes you think I want a haunted house?
We understand you want to find an authentic haunted house to use in your next suspense picture, sir. The three investigators desire to assist you in the search.
I have people searching for a proper house at this moment, all over America. I'm sure they'll find me the right house for my purposes.
But if we could find you the right house here in California, it would be a lot simpler to make your picture here, sir.
I'm sorry, my lad. It's out of the question.
We don't want any money, sir. But all famous detectives have someone write up their cases for people to read. Sherlock Holmes, Ellery Queen, Hercule Poirot, all of them. I have deduced that that is how they become famous. In order to get potential customers to know about the three investigators, we will have our cases written up by the father of our other partner, Bob Andrews. He works for a newspaper, and he will turn our adventures into a play and record them.
Well?
Well, Mr. Hitchcock, I thought if you could just introduce our first case...
You certainly do have a cheek.
But very well organized, Mr. Hitchcock. He's got a secret headquarters hidden away at Jeep's uncle's scrapyard.
It won't be a secret long if you tell everyone, Pete.
Mr. Hitchcock isn't everyone, Jupe.
Well, thank you for that.
And Pete is right, sir. We are well organized. We filled ourselves a very well-equipped headquarters out of an old trailer in my uncle's scrapyard. And we've had a telephone installed that we've paid for by doing chores for my uncle. And for 30 days, we have the rolls for transport. All we need is our first case, Mr. Hitchcock, just so we can get started.
Very well. I certainly admire your initiative. If you can come up with an interesting story, I'll introduce whatever you write about your case.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hitchcock. Then you want us to investigate the haunted house situation for you?
Oh, yes, I suppose so. I don't promise to use it, even if you find it. But investigate by all means.
You won't regret it, Mr. Hitchcock. Bob Andrews is researching at this very moment. By the time we get back to our headquarters, he'll be ready to give us his first report on Terror Castle.
Terror Castle is located in a narrow little canyon up above Hollywood called Black Canyon. It was originally called Terrell's Castle because it was built by a movie star named Stephen Terrell. He was a big star back in the silent film days before talking pictures were invented. He used to play in all kinds of scary pictures about vampires and werewolves, stuff like that. He built his house to look like the haunted castle, just like the ones in his pictures, and filled it with weird things that came from the different pictures he'd acted in.
Very promising, Bob.
That depends on what you're promising. What became of this Stephen Terrell?
He was known all over the world as a man with a million faces. Then talking pictures were invented, and people discovered he had a squeaky, high-pitched voice and lisped.
Great, a monster who lisped and a squeaky voice. They must have laughed themselves right out of their seats.
That's just what they did, and Stephen Terrell had to stop making pictures. He sent away his servants, even sent away his best friend, his business manager, Mr. Jonathan Rex. He shut himself up in his castle and brooded. People began to forget about him. Then one day, a wrecked car was discovered. It had run off the road and crashed down over the cliffs, almost into the ocean.
What did that have to do with Stephen Terrell?
The police traced the license number and learned that the car belonged to Terrell. They didn't find his body, but that wasn't surprising. It would have washed away at high tide.
Gee, you think he drove off the cliff on purpose?
Police weren't sure. But when they went to the castle, the door was wide open, and they found a note which said, I tell you that. Here it is.
Though the world will never see me alive again, my spirit will never leave this place. The castle will be forever a curse, and it was signed, Stephen Terrell. Wow! The more I hear about this place, the less I like it.
On the contrary, it grows steadily more promising. Continue, Bob.
Well, the police never found any trace of Terrell, but it turned out that he owed the bank a lot of money, so they sent some men out to collect Stephen Terrell's possessions. But they became very nervous, although they couldn't say why, and wouldn't stay. One real estate agent went there to spend the night, just to prove it was all imagination. He went out at midnight, so frightened, he ran all the way down the canyon.
Gee!
Go on. This is better than I hoped for.
Several other people tried to spend the night. A movie star did it for the publicity. She ran out even before midnight, the chief challenged so hard she could hardly talk. All she could do was whimper about a blue phantom and a fog of fear.
Nothing else, huh? No headless horsemen? No ghosts with clanking chains? No...
If you'd let Bob finish, we'd be able to proceed faster.
As far as I'm concerned, he is finished. I don't want to hear any more.
Anything else, Bob?
Well, just other incidents of the same kind. Muffled screams from underneath the castle, a misty figure walking up the stairs. A lot of people reported having heard weird music come from the ruined pipe organ in the music room.
and Sybil actually saw a ghostly figure, a sort of shimmery blue blob, playing the organ. In Egypt, the blue phantom, no tram will go within a mile of the place.
I'm not surprised. You couldn't hire me to go there.
Nevertheless, Pete, we are going there. You and I. Tonight. Is this it, Worthington?
I fear we can proceed no further in the rolls, Master Jones. This rockfall bars our passage. But it is my impression that the castle should be just around that turning ahead.
Thank you, Worthington. Come on, Pete. We'll walk the rest of the way. Have you got the tape recorder?
If I have to use it, all you'll hear will be the sound of chattering teeth.
We'll be back in an hour, Worthington!
If we're lucky! Oh, hey, look! Terror Castle! Gee, it looks scary. I think we ought to come by daylight, Duke, so we can find our way around.
Nothing happens here in the daytime. It's only at night that this place scares people out of their wits.
I don't want to be scared out of my wits. I'm half that way already.
So am I. I feel as if I'd swallowed some butterflies.
Then let's go back. We've done enough for one night. We had to go back to headquarters and make some more plans.
I've already made my plans. My plans are to stay in Terror Castle for 1 hour tonight. Come on.
What's that?
Just a jackrabbit. We frightened it.
We frightened it? What do you think it did to me?
Forward, Pete. Here we are. The entrance to Terror Castle.
Wow, there's a bat around my head.
Bats only eat insects. They never eat people.
Maybe this one wants a change of diet. Why take chances?
Oh, stop kidding, Pete. Here's the door. We just have to walk through it.
I wish I could get my legs to believe that. They think we ought to go back.
Well, so do mine. But my legs take orders from me. Come on.
Wait, do you hear spooky music?
Probably just imagination.
What if it was the ruined pipe organ being played by the Blue Phantom?
Then we certainly want to hear it. Let's enter. We're here. This is the main hall. We'll stay 1 hour, then we'll leave.
Leave.
Did you hear that? The Phantom told us to leave.
Wait. As I thought. Merely an echo. And it only works when you stand in the exact middle of the hallway. The walls are circular. Mr. Terrell built it this way specially. He called it the Echo Room.
I was just kidding. I knew it was an echo all along. Did I do that?
You did. But please, don't do it again.
I won't.
Shine your flashlight on the wall over there. That's right.
Gee, it's covered with pictures.
Yes. They all appear to be of the same man wearing different costumes.
I suppose they're all pictures of Stephen Terrell. Playing different roles from its films.
I guess so.
Gee whiskers.
What is it, Pete?
That picture of the one-eyed pirate. That one-eye is real. It's looking at us.
Where?
There, look.
No. It's just a painted eye like all the others.
I guess I was wrong. But I certainly thought I saw it blink. Hey. You feel what I feel?
Very cold. Cold spots aren't frequently found in haunted houses.
And this one is haunted. I feel a cold draft as if a whole parade of ghosts were rushing by. I've got goose flesh. I'm scared.
Look. Mist floating in the air.
It's a ghost. It's paralyzing.
Come on. Back to the car. Run. Run.
Thank you.
Here you are, Master Jones. Back home at your uncle's scrapyard.
Thank you, Worthington.
Yes, thank you for getting us away from Terror Castle.
Better luck next time, Master Jones. I must say, I enjoy this kind of assignment. It's quite a change from driving for fat bankers and rich old ladies. Good night, Master Jones.
Right. Let's get over to our headquarters. Bob will be waiting for us.
What was it that happened exactly, Pete? What made you run from Terra Castle tonight?
I don't know exactly. First I began to feel uneasy. After a while, I was feeling extremely nervous. All of a sudden, the extreme nervousness became sheer terror, and I wanted to run.
Your experience was exactly the same as mine. We actually saw and heard nothing to frighten us, yet we felt frightened. The question is, why?
What do you mean, why? Any old deserted house is frightening, and the place is so scary it would frighten spooks.
Perhaps that is the answer. We must visit Terra Castle again and...
The telephone!
Who could call us? No one knows our number.
We haven't had it long enough to be listed in the telephone book.
Hadn't we better answer it?
Yeah. Hello? 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 No one there. Must have been a wrong number. Hello? Hello?
Stay away. Stay away. Stay away from Terror Castle.
I've been thinking about that phone call we had last night. It seems to me we have a problem. In fact, we have two problems.
I can tell you how to solve our problems. Just pick up that phone and call Mr. Hitchcock and tell him we've decided not to find a haunted house for him. Tell him we break out into lumps of goose flesh whenever we go near one. Tell him our legs go all wobbly and start running on their own accord.
I will ignore those remarks, Pete. While Bob is busy at the library, we will endeavor to solve our problems. First, we must determine who made that phone call last night.
Not who. What? Was it a phantom or a spook or a werewolf? Or just a disembodied spirit?
Disembodied spirits are not known to use telephones.
That was in the old days. Why shouldn't they change with the times and be modern, too? That voice last night didn't sound like a human voice to me.
I agree. The whole problem is made more perplexing by the fact that, except for us in Worthington, not a living soul knew of our visit to Terra Castle last night.
But what about souls who aren't living?
If Terra Castle is actually haunted, we wish to prove it. And if Stephen Terrell is the one who put a curse on the castle, then presumably it's his ghost haunting the place now.
That sounds reasonable.
Our first line of action, then, is to locate someone who knew Stephen Terrell in the days when he was a silent picture star and who can tell us more about him.
But that was a long time ago. Who'd we find?
Our best bet would be Mr. Terrell's business manager, the Whisperer.
The Whisperer? What kind of name is that?
That was his nickname. His real name was Jonathan Rex. Here's a picture of him and Stephen Terrell that Bob copied for us at the library.
Well, so that was what Stephen Terrell looked like? He didn't have to do any asking to scare people. With that terrible scar and a bald head and those eyes, it would freeze a guy in his tracks.
You're looking at the wrong one. Mr. Terrell is the smaller man. The one who looks so friendly and harmless.
Him? He's the one who played all those ferocious monsters? The nice-looking guy?
Well, apparently, off the motion picture set, Stephen Terrell was so shy because of his lisp, he could hardly talk to people. So he hired the Whisperer to handle all his business affairs. The Whisperer had no trouble getting people to agree to the terms he desired.
I'll bet he didn't. He looks as if he would draw a knife on a person if anyone said no.
If we can locate him, I'm sure he can tell us all we need to know. Look him up in the telephone books, Pete, while I phone for Worthington and the Rolls.
This is the mountain road that leads to Mr. Jonathan Rex's residence, Master Jones.
Good work, Worthington.
Thank you, sir.
It's lucky for us that Jonathan Rex still lives in the neighborhood.
Yes. And I have an idea. Worthington. I believe this road will pass within a mile of the entrance of Black Canyon and Terror Castle.
That is so, Master Jones.
Then let's pay a quick visit to Black Canyon on the way. There's something I want to ascertain. There's Terror Castle again.
Just think, we went into that place after dark. Wow.
And came out in rather a hurry.
You can say that again.
As a matter of fact, we're going back in again, right now, and have a look around by daylight.
Look out!
What is it?
Up there! Rolling down the side of the mountain towards us! It's a gigantic boulder! It'll crush us!
Wait, stand still. It'll miss us by some yards.
Gee, whiskers! If that boulder had hit us, Terror Castle would have had some new ghosts tonight.
Look! There's someone up on that slope, hiding behind the bushes. I'll bet he rolled that stone down on us.
If he did, we'll teach him better manners. Come on, Jupe, let's get him.
Can you still see him, Pete?
No, he must be hiding. Look, above us, the whole side of the canyon is coming down on top of us.
Get into this crevice in the rock.
Jupe! We can't... Get out! We're trapped! We'll suffocate!
Breathe through your handkerchief until the dust settles. Don't worry about the air. This crevice must go a long way into the hillside, so there's plenty of air in here for now. But our exit appears to be effectively barricaded.
Even at a time like this, you use long words? Why don't you just say we can't get out? We're stuck.
I won't say we can't get out, because that fact remains to be proved. Look up there. You can see daylight through that tiny hole.
We'll never get out through there.
Not until we make the hole bigger. And fortunately, someone has been in this crevice before us and left a stick behind. If I poke hard enough with it, I should be able to disturb a rock. There. The hole is bigger. A little more poking, and the hole will be big enough for us to get through.
Jupe, you're a genius.
Please. I simply endeavor to exercise my native intelligence to its fullest ability. Now help me enlarge this hole so that we can get out and return to Worthington and the Rolls and continue our journey to the home of Mr. Jonathan Rex.
We've reached the end of the road, Master Jones, but I do not see any habitation.
There's a mailbox. It says Rex, 915. The house must be around here somewhere.
There are some rocky steps going up the hillside. They must lead to Jonathan Rex's house. Stay here, Worthington.
Sir?
We'll go and visit with the Whisperer.
Gee, we've climbed a long way. What's all that noise?
Birds. Parakeets. Look, by the side of the house. Cages of them.
And look there. A man with a bald head.
And a terrible scar.
He's got an axe in his hand. It's razor sharp.
Stand right where you are. Don't move a step. Do you hear?
He's coming towards us.
Stand absolutely still, boys. Don't move if you value your lives.
What do we do?